Everybody, it's your girl Claudia Jordan. We are here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and you're ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds and our new official co-host, Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Congratulations.
Thank
How do you feel?
I'm really, really excited. Really quick, I'm just, you know, coming from a place where when I was a kid, you know, I was always told, like, you're too much. Your personality is over the top. You're really extra. So for a while, I always felt like I had to dial back who I was to make people feel comfortable because, you know, many times, like, I was misunderstood. And so it got to a point where, you know, I told myself that, you know what? Forget trying to make people comfortable. I'm going to do this and be myself, and that's going to make me money one day. And so to be here at this point, being unapologetically me on a platform like this, starting from my mother's garage down to a YouTube channel, now to be on Fox Soul, I'm super excited and I'm really grateful. And, you know, I thank God because during that time, I was doing my 60-day cleanse here. You guys were wondering why I didn't drink. This was not in my plan for 2024, but God told me, he said, listen, if you don't drink these 60 days, I'm going to give you a full season on that show and it's yours. And I said, I'm not going to drink. And I manifested this moment. And I just want to, you know, I hope this inspires some of my YouTube family, my subscribers, friends, everybody. I feel really good about this. And I hope, you know, this is a lesson to everybody that, you know, quiet out the noise. No one can stop you. No man, woman, boy, child, anybody. You know, they cannot stop what's for you. And I'm happy to be here. And I can't wait to make magic with you guys. So
all right, let's do it. All right. Now, so amazing. In case you missed our new opening, we'd like to take our moment to congratulate Armand Wiggins. And thank you for that. And we are ready to get into some things, as you say. And you're going to get graphics from time to time. So that's part of being part of the TGI family. Arms, Al gets little arms and you got the applause right there. All right. Well, now the cleanse is over. You got the job. What you sipping on tonight?
A little Moscato today. Prosecco Moscato. Keeping it light tonight.
I love me some Moscato. Okay, Al, what about you?
Nope, just ginger ale tonight. You know, I've been celebrating all weekend with the Oscars here. So I'm detoxing.
How was your weekend? Was it fun?
Oh, it was exciting. It was amazing. And then, of course, I got to represent Fox Soul at the Oscars. Can't wait to share that with you all later on this week. But it was all around just like one of those moments that you say, this is why I live in Hollywood. This is why I moved to Los Angeles. It's all worth it when you witness the Oscars.
Absolutely. Well, I was in Vegas all weekend. I just got back a little while ago. Wanye from Boys to Men and his beautiful wife, Amber, their baby, Anella, celebrated their first birthday. I'm one of the official aunties. It was the most extravagant, beautiful, expensive, rich people thing birthday I've ever went to. And I was like, damn, they love their baby. It's like, yeah, you're like, damn, mom, I got an ice cream cake. No, but it was really nice. And real quick, I want to just take a second to plug. Tonight is a real big episode for me on Deal or No Deal Island. So right after this is over, get your little break, get you a drink. The fireworks go down tonight. I've been doing a lot of press. I did Watch What Happens Live that aired last night on Bravo. So please check it out. So look, as you can see here, we are all very booked and busy. The panel of TJF, we got a lot of things going on in our lives. All right, we popping right now. Okay, let's get into these topics. Tonight, we're kicking off the show by celebrating Women's History Month. All right, our Women's History Month spotlight goes to EGOT winner, activist, producer, New York Times best-selling author, and philanthropist Viola Davis are receiving her own Barbie doll. What are your thoughts on this moment? Al, let's go to you first.
Hey, this is actually history in its making, and we're witnessing it here today. This is amazing. We know that Barbie, the movie, was the highest in the box office at $1.5 billion. Also, Barbie has the highest record sales in actual Barbie dolls at around $3 billion in 2021 and 2022. So to see a Black woman chosen and to step in that space and get some of that good old cash, cash that'll be around for a very long time is exceptional to watch. And it's also, it couldn't have happened to a better EGOT, like you said, and just an all around awesome Black woman. She has always showed us respect when many other high class A-listers pass Foxo by on the carpet. Viola Davis and her husband makes it an intention to stop to speak to all Black media. I can't give her enough love. Congratulations, not only to Viola, but also congratulations for Mattel, the doll maker, and Barbie, the brand, for choosing her.
All right, Armand, what do you think?
I love this. I love, love, love this. And I especially love this for Viola Davis. I first kind of really got into her learning How to Get Away with Murder. But she, to me, is like the perfect human being. And I love that it's an older Barbie, you know, and I love that it's happening to her in this older age, because a lot of times we feel as though, you know, if we don't accomplish certain milestones by 25 or 30 or 40, then it's too late. So for her to be, you know, older and now she's still being rewarded this way as a Barbie, we know what Barbie stands for, you know, beauty and, you know, luxuriousness and anything that you can want to be. And every girl wants to be a Barbie in their own right. And I love that it's showcasing Viola Davis in this right, because now you can see women of all ages being a Barbie. It's not just one way. And so I think this is super dope. I'm super happy for her. And I think this is fantastic.
Not only the obvious fact that she's a chocolate woman, and I think that's the least of her accolades. Like, I think it makes a fantastic statement for young dark skinned girls that don't often get to see this. Like, you know, this is a big deal. But I must say, she also has her roots from my home state of Rhode Island. She began her career in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Shout out to Central Falls, Rhode Island, appearing in small stage productions, which we are very, very happy to have a little bit of a claim to the wonderful Miss Viola Davis. So congratulations. We are so proud of you. All right, y'all, moving on. The 96th Academy Awards took place last night, and some of the highlights included Devine Joy Randolph winning Best Supporting Actress for her role in The Holdovers. Cord Jefferson winning Best Adapted Screenplay for writing American Fiction, starring Jeffrey Wright, Sterling K. Brown, and Erica Alexander. Shout out to her. And Chris Bowers won his first Oscar for Best Documentary Short Film for The Last Repair Shop. Oh, let's not forget John Cena presenting the award for Best Costume Design while butt-ass naked. What do you guys think about the Oscars? Armand, what do you think about this?
I'm going to be honest with you. So at first, I didn't really watch the Oscars because I was busy celebrating my Fox Soul seat. However, I did see some of the clips. I loved Devine Joy's her acceptance speech about feeling seen, because obviously I'm in that spot right now, you know, feeling seen and feeling appreciated when someone gives you an opportunity. So that definitely resonated with me. The John Cena moment, I was a little perplexed, because I was like, okay, what is this? I've seen on social media, people were calling it a humiliation ritual. To me, people were saying that this was a play on showing how necessary it is to have costume designers in, you know, and having them paid. So maybe that was what it was. I'm not really sure, but then I also did some research and they were saying that he actually wasn't naked underneath the actual envelope. So I'm not sure what that was, honestly. It was a little weird for me, though.
I thought it was too gimmicky. I know we're talking about it here on TJF, but I'm like, this is the Oscars. Like, I'm hating how ratchet behavior is getting into like the classiest of events. Yes, we've had some off-color moments in Oscar history. Yeah, we've had quite a few, actually. But this right here, I was like, really? I don't know. It was giving thirst. Al, did you like it?
One thing I'm not going to talk about is this naked scene before I talk about all the great Black excellence that happened and appeared at the Oscars. When I tell you that just watching and listening to Cord Jefferson talk about it was his first time directing, he also talked about that he wanted to call out all the people that passed him over and told him that this project would never get done. And also wanted to talk about the fact that it happened to him at 40 years old, where in this town, they make you feel like if you don't get it before then, you're never gonna get it. So to see this young Black male defy the odds and win an Oscar just took me by a whirlwind last night. And what was even more interesting was to watch the other side of that dynamic, where the Academy snubbed Jeffrey Wright. They voted for him with the SAGs, they voted with him with the Independent Spirit Awards, and everybody knew that Jeffrey Wright that night had bagged Best Male Actor. And he didn't. They gave it to someone else. And I just thought that that was also very telling. And last but not least, Davon, her name is Davon, Day, D-A-Y. Mm. I learned that last night. Her story, like Armand was saying, the whole just be yourself. I think that resonated with every actor in that room and every individual that witnessed Oscars last night, because it's one thing to be yourself in Hollywood and get it, and it's another thing to not be yourself and still get it. And for her to be true to everything that she learned from her teachers and her family just made everybody's eyes tear up last night. So it was just amazing to watch. And also, I want to give a shout out to Chris Bauer. Chris Bauer was a very young African-American male, best documentary short film. He snuck in there and stole an Oscar. And when I tell you, the surprise on everyone's face, including his, was an inspiration as well, because this lets us know that our future of Black creatives in Hollywood still have a chance. Thumbs up to all the Black nominees as well as the award winners, because you deserved it. And it was a night to be seen and had by all.
All right. 39-year-old reality star Dre Michelle received a lot of criticism on social media after she announced her pregnancy with 22-year-old NBA player Jalen Green. But one person who spoke out in support of her relationship was comedian Tori Hart. Check this out.
Everybody in the uproar talking about, oh my God, she old enough to be his mom. Oh my God, his mom probably watched Basketball Wives. And yeah, his mama did watch Basketball Wives. And you know what? He probably watched it with her. And that's why he went after Drea. He wanted some of that cougar. He wanted some of that cougar.
All right. Do you agree with Tori's remarks? And what are your thoughts on the backlash that's aimed at Drea? Let's go to you first, Al.
You know what? The backlash is deserved. I mean, I think we all are thinking the same thing. Now, it's and a lot of people say that men that her age go after 21-year-olds, but men her age go after 21-year-olds. And I've said this to a friend the other night, and they usually have more money, right? It's usually they are going after a 21-year-old to be with a young girl to take care of her. In this case, it just seems like it's what it appears when you have a 39-year-old woman going after a 21 or 22-year-old man. It just seems like she's going after him for the convenience of his popularity as a player and his money. And that's the reason, that's the rub that we have. As it relates to Tori, come on now. You have an 18-year-old daughter. Would it be okay if your 18-year-old daughter dated a 40-year-old man and got pregnant by him? That's the question that you should really be asking. And you can play with the whole cougar snatch and all that you want to, but think about the kids that you have. Or if your 16-year-old son, because you have a 16-year-old son, what if a 39-year-old woman came after your 16-year-old son when he turned 18. How prideful would you be in saying it's okay?
All right, let's get on to Armand's opinion. What do you think, Armand, about this?
I think this is absolutely weird. I don't like it, especially since, you know, Drea's son is 22 years old as well. So it just feels very weird. I feel uncomfortable about it. And also feel as though that she just wanted a baby, honestly, because she recently did an interview and she talked about how, you know, she wants another baby, even if it's an understanding. So I'm just like, you took this young boy, you banging this young boy, and he got him pregnant. He got you pregnant, and you're gonna take the kid and let him live his life. Like, I feel like she really milked him for a kid.
Well, she got 18 years to enjoy it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like, and then this whole him being young and him all not, you know, he came in the cougar snatch. Like, let's be clear, 22, you're still impressionable. And she's a smart woman, okay? She's been in this business for a long time. She's a beautiful woman, and she knows how to manipulate. 22-year-olds could be manipulated. She manipulated that, but I don't care how much money he has, how much success he has, he's still only 22, and you're 40 years old. You know exactly what you did there, and I feel like it's really, really gross.
Well, I'm going to say this. They both know what they're doing. They're both adults. But I will say it definitely looks really bad for Drea with the age gap. But let's not act like she's just necessarily going after him, because these young boys love proving themselves to an old lady. But it's her job to turn it down at that age. Like, a lot of young boys like proving themselves to young, older women. It happens all the time. Trust and believe. But you have to be the one that, you know, was like, all right, man, how's this look? How would my child feel? This is the same age as my child. That's the only part of the narrative I don't agree with, that she went after. We don't know who went after who, but when that person comes after you, you don't have to go there.
But you Claudia, let him impregnate Claudia, you. You Claudia, let him impregnate you. That's crazy.
Claudia,
Right.
Claudia.
Listen, when I say what I said, listen to what I'm saying. Don't, before you try to jump down my throat, I'm not co-signing it. I'm saying the narrative is that Drea went after this young boy to trap him, whatever. I don't know about that. I don't know who hit on who because it happens all the time. These young boys love getting at these older women. I'm saying Drea, as the older woman with the younger kid, it was on her to then turn said child down or said young adult down. Yes, they are both adults, but it is cringe. I'm
Great question.
agreeing with that.
Question,
Y'all.
please.
Yes, please.
I'm not jumping down your throat. I'm asking a question. The question is, what is the youngest that you would date? Like, what, where would you feel uncomfortable? What, where is your line?
Well, now I'm 50 now. So I played around with someone before that was 12 years younger. That was playing around when I was in my like 40s, early 40s, and it was fun and it was popping. I had no intentions of getting pregnant by this person or even letting y'all know who the hell it was because y'all would gag if you knew. But I just quietly did my thing, had my fun, and moved on. But now, I mean, I guess I have a wider range now because I'm 50, so I could potentially date someone that's 35, but I would like 40s and up, even
Okay.
45 for me. But me, 22, hell no. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
That's not for me.
That's
But I'm here to
not a lot of
also.
talking going on.
No, that's just effing. That's what that should be left at, and no one should know about that.
With a condom, but she had a plan in my mind. She had, in my opinion, I feel like she had a plan to get pregnant.
I guess I have to even stand on it even more. What was his plan? He can have a
To
he.
bang Drea.
Okay, well, he can bang Drea with a condom on his thing. He's not 16. All right, moving on. Keep it locked because coming up next, Candace Owens is spilling the tea on Diddy and later find out why Al is outraged. We'll be right back. I see you on the chat trying to figure out who it is. I will never tell unless I write that book. They asking some shady questions. Would you have aborted it if you made a mistake? Oh my God. Our soulmates are so messy. And they, yes. Okay. We have some tea on Diddy's latest lawsuit that was filed by music producer Lil Rod. According to Candace Owens, this recent lawsuit hasn't been picked up by mainstream media due to a powerful executive whose name dropped in the field, filed documents, I'm sorry. Universal Music Chief Lucian Grange was listed as someone who was involved in Diddy's many freak-off sessions. Oh, what are your thoughts on these updates? And real quick, based on the lawsuit, Lucian allegedly spent hours in Diddy's room with the door locked. Wow, he ain't got a type. Allegedly, if that's even true. Al, what do you think?
You know what? I don't want to agree with Candace Owens, but I think Candace Owens is definitely onto something. And we're not talking about the quantity of people because we know that Jeffrey Epstein had close to what, 60, 70, 80. And that's the ones that came forward. But we're talking about the quality. I think with this Diddy situation, you have a cross section between celebrities, politicians, rappers, church leaders, record executives, as well as corporate leaders. And it's just a stew. It's a big pot of mess that she's right. It hasn't gotten the media attention. The only attention it's gotten is a lot of play on the blogs. And I think there is a reason for that because I think the people that will be exposed will erode who we actually look up to as our thought leaders in the Black community.
And people are scared. Armand, what do you think?
I totally agree. I also feel like, Candace Owens is actually right there too, because it's like, there's also people trying alleging that, he could be like murdering people or trying to kill people. You know what I mean? And so it's like for that not to be talked about on a mainstream level is really, really interesting. So, and I believe that all of this one day though will soon fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, I see people like begging for answers on certain things and wanting to know things and being outraged when they don't get all the answers right away. There's a lot of things that go on behind these stories. A lot of people in the know and in these circles have been hearing these things for a very long time and been hearing things whispered, not shouted from the rooftops, for a reason, y'all. How many times do I have to say it? Like, you can't, again, have it both ways. And there are a lot of suspicious injuries, disappearings, unalivings, allegedly, that are tied to some of these people. So stop, like, it'll come out when it's supposed to. And it actually comes out when someone kicks the door in a la Cassie and gives other people the courage to come forward. But like, a lot of the stuff we've been hearing, but it sounds to people in the middle of America, like people on the East Coast and the West Coast, been hearing the stuff that are in the scene, but it's shocking to y'all. But a lot of people been hearing about this stuff.
So let me ask you this, Claudia. Do you think that it's not getting black media, main media attention because this is black people being abused? And you know how we don't care about missing black little kids. We don't care about anything that's affecting the black community. Do you think that could be why main media hasn't picked up on this as well?
Maybe that, but what I more so think it is a lot of people that are in powerful positions and the gatekeepers are involved somehow. They've been to a party, they've had a lunch, they've done some dealings. They are all holding hands in this. It's not one person. You're not able to have a network of this where things get quietly taken care of for years without having a lot of co-conspirators or a lot of people allegedly that have helped you out, turn a blind eye or look the other way. Like, it's not just one person in this like crime syndicate of underlings. There's other powerful people that have invested interest in you and your brands that are going to make whistleblowers go away.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, DHP said Diddy might be dirty, but we don't need to hear from Candace Owens. You know what? Oh, this past year I've been agreeing with this heifer so many times. She was the problem was never that she's not smart. The problem was never that she's not smart. The problem is that she uses her powers for evil sometimes, pandering and shucking and jiving for the other side. But she's not dumb. All right. Deanna Florin said the only reason she's talking about it because he's black. Oh, for her, yeah, for sure. And Nizzy said, and for him to be a black man and not have it plastered all over media is very telling. Exactly. Because he got some powerful rich ass that make them phone calls. Allegedly, my opinion. Bad Bunny filed a lawsuit against a fan after unauthorized clips from his concert were posted on YouTube. Bad Bunny claims a fan posted full song performances on his YouTube channel and wants an injunction barring the supporter from posting the footage online, plus a flat $150,000 for each of the videos posted for personal damages. All right, what are your thoughts on this lawsuit? And do you hate when fans post videos of the concert online? Armand, what do you think?
Well, I personally love when fans post videos of concerts that I can't go to, but I understand why he's having to do this lawsuit. So when you file a copyright infringement takedown on YouTube and it actually goes through, they can then the person that you filed it on can then go and dispute it. And if they and if it takes about 10 days, and YouTube will typically put it back up. So what happens if you're the copyright owner, you have to then go and prove that you will take this person to court in order for the content to come down. So this guy was uploading like HD quality 10-minute videos of Bad Bunny's concert. So he had no choice. If he wanted the content down, he had to show proof that he will take this guy to court. Like, you literally have to do it, or the content will get put back up after a week, 2 weeks. So I agree with it.
You know what? I think the price of what he's gone after is outrageous. However, if you think about it, it's just not fair to those ticket payers. Those individual fans that went out, got a ticket, traveled, got a babysitter, whatever they had to do to get to that concert and enjoy it. It's just not fair to them. And it's also not fair to Bad Bunny, right? It's disrespectful to him, it's disrespectful to his fans, and they really do need to do something about it. And at the end of the day, if we're all honest, the reason why he's doing it is because it also sets precedents, which I totally get that, because something has to cause these people to be wary about these actions that they're doing by posting these videos. So across the board, I like it. The amount that he's asking for is a little extreme to me, but it's a good idea to, show more respect to him or his talent and his fans.
Y'all are already trying it, not y'all, but the people that do this. You already get albums from streaming. The artist already had to take an L with this whole new system that we have. Before, you had to go buy an LP, a big old album, or then a disc. You had to pay for that. Artists are already losing so much money in that regard. Like, they don't make what they used to on their sales. They have to do billions now, right? As opposed to millions of streams to get the same money, I think. So they make their money on their tours. if y'all start doing this and pirating their tours, eventually people will sit home like us and watch them, right? And watch them, like, let the artists make their money. And I know people, it's hard for people to feel sorry for people they perceive as rich and wealthy and successful, but this is their art. This is their creations. Like, and I think it is very unfair to the people that did spend the money to go. And you just put it out there for people to, oh, I don't have to go. And it's really messed up to the artist. Now, y'all keep it up. If you ever been to a Dave Chappelle concert, he makes you take your phones and put them in a pouch and they confiscate your phone. You want to be able to take a selfie with your friend in the audience if y'all keep doing this. I was at Cat Williams concert on Friday here in Dallas. They was on it. When people was trying to record stuff, like I went to record stuff and they were like, nope, can you please not? So it's, you gotta, if you are a fan of these people, stop pirating their stuff. Chris Sierra said they went for the experience. It's live shows and concerts from years ago on YouTube. He should have something better to do. Oh, he said it from a while ago. And Black Cat said Bad Bunny didn't have no cell phone usage policy, so that was his fault. That's true. You also have to state that in advance. And Synchrone 50 said Beyonce's whole show is on YouTube. She ain't suing. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. She doesn't have to. That doesn't mean Bad Bunny. He has a right to do what he wants to do. All right, Chris Brown is calling out mainstream media at his peers in a recent post. The singer wrote, "I don't want to be accepted from none of the mainstream media and fake celebrities. I'm king in my own lane. Your fave ain't got bleep on me, and they know it. Ain't finna tap dance for approval. You will beg forgiveness of me that I do know. All right, y'all, he's letting y'all have it. What are your thoughts on this post, Al?
Oh gosh, this is so tough. To either get off of social media or change this approach that he is using on his social media, because these every other week on social media just reinforces the fact that people look at him as impulsive, erratic, and unpleasant. And that is one of the things that he's been fighting so hard to recover from. But he's given them their own ammunition to shoot it back at him. Come on, Chris. Just try a different approach. I know it's hard because you're trying to move out from under this dark cloud in many different ways. Stick to your talent. Try a different strategy. If you want to release the whole I'm not impulsive, I'm not erratic, and all that stuff, then you can't be doing stuff like this on social media. I'm sorry.
All right, Armand, what do you think?
I say F. Here's what I've learned. You know, once people make up in their mind a thought about you and who you are, you can't change it. So at some point, you have to say, you know what? You don't like me. I don't like you. I don't need you. We're going to keep pushing. Chris Brown is still selling out shows, still making money, still has millions and millions of fans, still gets brought up in conversations, even when people don't want him being brought up in these conversations. Chris Brown will be is a legend, will be an icon. And I think that, you know, it's unfortunately, that will be his legacy. He will never be able to get from underneath the Rihanna debacle in 2009. People are going to hold him to that. He might have to wear that jacket and just keep pushing, honestly, and stop looking for the validation, because there's going to be many people that are never going to let him live that down, no matter how hard he tries, no matter how many community services he does. They're never going to let him live down his past. And he has to just move forward.
Well, what path? You're talking about his past, like with Rihanna. Why do we only bring up Rihanna?
Well, Rihanna, Carucci.
Okay, I mean, all of them. But, he's got a long list.
But I'm just saying, but he's not doing list. It now.
You got to stop the behavior. If you wanted to change the perception around you, you got to stop the behavior, Armand.
Chris Brown is like our cousin that we love, that we know be messing
up. That's going to show out.
But we know is also extremely talented. So I think two things can be true at the same time. Is he wildly talented? Should he be an icon as far as like he is an icon? Yes. Will he forever be painted with the brush of being a bad guy from his past, which is self-inflicted injury? Yes. Yes, but I do agree. It doesn't help him when he makes these posts. But then I take both sides. I understand the emotion part of him, but he's sick of it. If we're sick of talking about it, imagine how sick of it he is with dealing with it. So he's emotional. Most artists are. Cardi B, Chris Brown, they can't just not say anything. And we also got to stop penalizing humans for being human.
Right. Human, you can't abuse photographers, you can't abuse workers,
I mean.
You can't abuse women.
I get that. I'm talking about his reaction.
So you gotta change your behavior, or else you're gonna be mad at people just making sound judgments on you because of your behavior.
But I was trying to say that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh my God. I was trying to say I understand that. I'm not abusing. That is not excusing the behavior. I'm just saying I understand his reaction to it. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Amon.
And when we talk about the media, let's just be very clear here. Mainstream media, white media, they make more money off of Chris Brown slander. They don't really do well off of showing Chris Brown in a positive light. Like, let's be very clear here. And we sit on a platform every single day. I'm sure there's been things that I've said, that you guys have said, that people are never going to let you live down. Whether you say it today and never say it again, some things you will always be labeled as, no matter how hard you try to get away from it. So at some point,
1000%. You're not allowed to make any mistakes when you are have a light on you, because that's who you are to them. All right. MSJJ134 says, Chris is amazingly talented and keeps quiet until he can't take it anymore. They keep holding his past over his head, and they don't do that to others. Well, they pick and choose. Well, I will give you that. All right. Keep it locked, because coming up next, find out why Al's outraged, and later Whoopi Goldberg is defending Cougars. We'll be right back. Back to TGIF. All right, y'all, we know, you know, you come to TGIF and you get the tea on not just the gossip, but also on how to make your life a little bit easier. And life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'. Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin' app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So if you get an unexpected expense, like your car breaks down or something happens with your pets, you can, you know, rely on Earnin'. Al, have you, what do you think about Earnin'?
Absolutely. Listen, guys, also, how many of us have had unexpected funerals that someone passed and you all of a sudden need to send the family flowers or get a gift or take food? This is a perfect opportunity for you. If you don't have the money, that you can get in advance, make sure you take care of the family member or the friend that has, you know, experienced in the death or the loss, and then you can have it taken back out once the check comes. I think it's a great idea, and I encourage people to use it for those unexpected gifts like that.
All right, make Earnin' a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin', I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. Now, when you download the Earnin' app, type in T under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's T-E-A under podcast, subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. And yeah, we are definitely fans of Earnin' right here. Promotion consideration furnished by Earnin'. All right, y'all, let's get back to some more topics. All right, soulmates, our very own brand strategist, Al Reynolds, is passionate about covering stories that are placed in the archives of media. And that's why tonight, Mr. Reynolds will be giving us his unfiltered opinion in Where's the Outrage?
I hope I get some black arms soon. Go ahead.
All right. Last month, the story went viral on social media of a good Samaritan, Sanai Garden, who documented her acts of kindness by going over and beyond to help a homeless man. Well, when social media users caught wind of the story, people decided to contribute to the man's GoFundMe account, which raised $403,000 on his behalf. However, according to Sanai, GoFundMe is refusing to release the money and believe the issue could be racially motivated. Al, where's the outrage?
You know what I'm going to say. Where is the outrage? And there's so much outrage on so many levels here. Number one is the outrage of how the government is failing the homeless population in Washington, D.C. And I don't understand why, because Washington, D.C. over the past 3 to 5 years has given back $10 million of homeless funds because they claim they didn't need it or didn't need to use it. The other outrage here is that this has become a viral moment. And we know that millions upon millions are raised and people donate to nonprofits around the homeless topic. However, we can't get any one of those organizations, any one of those huge organizations to partner with this Black gentleman right here to make sure that he's in some type of safe haven home, getting his life back on track, making sure that his insurance is in place, making sure that he has an ID, because GoFundMe is trying to say the reason why they won't release the funds is because he doesn't have a U.S. issued ID. How crazy is that? And the last outrage is, how in the world can we be relying on a college student to max out her credit cards in order to provide the basic service that this man deserves? Not only by provide the basic service this man deserves, but it's with Black people in a Black city with a Black mayor. I'm outraged. The entire homeless system in the city of Washington, D.C. needs to be overhauled. And all of those nonprofits that raise millions upon millions from your good Judys and your friends, why haven't you stepped in and partnered with this young lady, not only to pay her credit cards back down, but to get him the services he's need? Shame on all of you.
Right, Al, thank you so much for that. Keep it locked, because coming up next, Whoopi Goldberg is coming, is defending Cougars worldwide. And later we are playing a fashionable game of hit or miss. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Now, if you're just joining us right now, we did promise to announce our new co-host, and we did announce at the top of the show that the third spot has gone to Armon Wiggins, who has brought lots of fire to the show and lots of fun, and we appreciate you. So we definitely shouted that out in the beginning, but I know people are sometimes tuning in late. Y'all be late sometimes. We want to definitely welcome you to Foxhole.
And I definitely want to welcome you, Armon. And I want to tell you that I know you're the right decision to be in that chair. You know, I've championed you on my YouTube channel, but I knew you were the right person because you make me want to be better as a host myself. So thank you for that. Keep up the good work. And I can't wait to see what the balance of this year holds for us as a team.
Yes. Thank you, guys. That was big, Al, because I mean, I feel like both of you guys, you and Claudia, you guys like challenged me a lot, and I'm like learning, I'm growing. So I feel like it's only up from here, and I feel like we're going to do really well. So I'm excited. So thanks for having me.
Definitely going to be a big, big year. All right, y'all, we got our crew together. So let's get back to these stories. Whoopi Goldberg has had enough of y'all shenanigans. And when it comes to the age gap between two lovers, the EGOT winner expressed her frustration after social media shared their concerns about an upcoming film called The Idea of You, where Anne Hathaway's character, who is 41, is dating a 29-year-old pop star. Whoopi said, "What is the problem? If you don't want to see the movie, don't see the movie. Stop bitching about it." And she added, "One of the last relationships I had, he was 40 years older than me." Does Whoopi Goldberg have a point? And could you date someone who is 40 years older than you? Armon, what do you think?
So 29 and 41, I feel like that's in ballpark. Now, Whoopi, she's trying to relate. And from what I gathered, he was 90 and she was 70 or 60. It's just not, you know, once you get down that road, it kind of doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel like Whoopi, that kind of, it doesn't really relate the same. I mean, after 65 years old, to me, it doesn't really make a difference. So of course you can date someone 40 years older, you know, when you're almost 70 years old, but you know, it's just a little bit different when you're in your 40s and the person is, you know, early in their 20s to me.
Al?
Okay, Whoopi, I love you, but this sounds ridiculous. Because, I mean, when you were in your 40s, Whoopi, you were dating an 80-year-old. When you were in your 50s, you were dating a 90-year-old. You're in your 60s, so you'd be dating a 100-year-old. Cut it out, Whoopi. Something, cut it out. I understand what you're trying to say, but don't use that 40-year-old difference analogy again, because it's going to make us look at you side-eye.
Vanessa said 40 years older than her, he was 100. And Debbie Bryan said, exactly. We need someone to stand up for us Cougars. We all know there's a double standard in this area. Of course we do, but hey.
100 years old, though. Would you date a 100-year-old, Claudia?
I wouldn't date a 60-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Like, I feel like we were all here for, you know, the Stella Got a Groove Back era. You know what I'm saying? So we're here for the Cougars. We're just not here when it looks weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be a certain line to it, to me.
It depends on if we like the person, is basically what you're saying.
No, it depends on, like, you don't have a baby. You don't have a baby with a person that's your child's age.
Okay, Chris, Live Love Lovey said, Whoopi needs to stop. She's stuck in her old Jewish ways. And Teresa Jenkins said, but older men be dating younger women all the time. And Kiana Doll says, as long as they're not underage, I could care less at this point. It's not me. Moving right along, Larsa Pippen is shutting down the naysayers after revealing her 15-year-old daughter's $2,500 monthly allowance. People had something to say about this. The reality star said, you guys have to understand, LA is expensive, super expensive. So after school, she orders food or Uber or buys presents for her friends' birthdays. Do you think this is too much for a 15-year-old? It doesn't matter. And did you guys have a monthly allowance? I know I did not, because we didn't have it like that, Al.
I had a monthly allowance. I think it was $250 a month back when I was in college. But you know, if you really think about it, Scottie Pippen is wealthy. He's made a lot of money, and you know, she's always going to the best schools. She's always eating the best foods. So $2,500 a month, actually living in LA, is not that bad considering how much her parents make. And I just want to say that young lady is absolutely beautiful. And listen, if you're going to get outrageous about her getting $2,500 a month, which is only close to $30,000 a year, then you need to be outraged with Wendy Williams' son spending $100,000 in his Uber Eats account. So there you have it. I think these are rich people problems. And if you have it and you want to let them spend it, then that's why you worked so hard, so that you could take care of your kids and let them spend the way they want to spend.
All right, Armand, what are your thoughts?
And you know, just to piggyback off of that, I feel like when you're a girl that looks like that, beautiful, rich, privileged, I mean, honestly, 2,500 probably ain't enough. She probably blows through that. Actually, you know, they also talked about the fact that the girl gets her own money. She has a brand deal with Fashion Nova. So I think that, you know, the $2,500 is really not our business. These are rich people problems. And I think that honestly, living in LA is very expensive. You can blow through $2,500 in a matter of 2 weeks, honestly. So I think that, you know, it's nothing wrong with this. And she's a pretty girl. Girls are high maintenance. So I think that she probably blows through that money and probably needs more by the end.
Vanessa said, I asked for an allowance and my mom laughed at my face. I went right on and got a job. And who dat PYT says, it ain't tricking if you got it. It is what it is. So that's not a lot for a rich kid. And I agree. The reason why you work hard is so your kids can have a great life outside of the homes, the cars, and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with giving them a little bit of money to, like, hey, don't bother me for the month. You go get your hair done with this, get your little gifts for your little friends, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, you can just, I wouldn't want them to nickel and dime me. And that's what rich people are supposed to be doing. I mean, I just went to a little baby 1-year-old's birthday party that was probably one of my cards cost for a 1-year-old. But that's what Wanye said. I work so hard so I can give this to my family. And that's a good thing. Larsa also said, yeah, again, she, like Al said, she already has brand endorsement deals. So it's not like she's a bum doing nothing. She also works. So that's supplemental and in addition to her hard work. All right. Doja Cat revealed yet again that she is deactivating her Instagram account due to unfair treatment. In a now deleted post, the rapper wrote, hey, I'm going to deactivate because I'm not really feeling this anymore. You guys take care of yourselves. I like coming here to find inspo and see people being creative, but I just feel like this is getting to be too much. I feel you, girl. What are your thoughts, Armand?
Cry me a river. Doja Cat, delete it and keep it gone. Don't come back. We're over it. I feel like Doja Cat does this every few months when she wants to do a rebrand. You know what I'm saying? This is part of her tactics. Okay, so she'll want the first time, the last time she did it, then she came back as a demon. Now she'll probably rebrand into an angel. All of this is publicity for me, and I'm just over Doja Cat's antics. She's quitting music today. She's a devil tomorrow. She hates Instagram. She can't smoke. She can't talk. She stopped. It's always something with Doja Cat. And at this point, girl, either you're gonna be an artist and you're gonna be on social media or you're not. Like, stop gaslighting your fans. Stop saying you hate your audience. Stop saying you don't want to sing. Stop saying you don't want to be on social media just to come back in 3 months with a whole album rollout. Like, girl, just commit to it and stick through it. Because she's a troll herself. I'm over it.
Michelle Lewis agrees with you. She said, not Doja. She looking for attention. Al, what do you think? Is this attention?
You know, I couldn't agree more with Armand on this. It's like the shock value, the attention grabbing, you know, the blood on your face one time, the shaving of your head the other time, the antics. It's just too much. It's like, what do you want, woman? I mean, it's like you throw the rock and hide your hand. Like you like it until it's negative. When it's negative, you don't want it anymore. Now you're talking about you need to protect your mental health. Get it together, Doja Cat. You are way too talented. You're dominating the industry for you to be behaving like this. It's so unnecessary. Get it together, woman.
I agree with who that PYT said. Why do we need an announcement? Just go. I hate when people do this. Oh, because of this, I'm leaving right now. I'm getting off social media because I don't like the attention that I'm getting. I can't stand the comments. I'm leaving.
As if you don't have 30 million people following you and every blog and publication is not going to repost it. It's like, girl.
I think it's the biggest story when people just take their accounts off quietly offline. Then the people be like, oh my God, what happened? Are you okay? Did we go too far? I think that would have probably got a better reaction in this day and age, Doja. But hey, you successful, you making it. So who are we to judge? You clearly know what you're doing. Keep it locked because coming up next, we are playing a fashionable game of hit or miss. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Shout out to the 4,000 soulmates in the chat, but them likes are low at 1,000. So 75% of y'all need to go ahead and hit that like button and show your favorite trio some love. Thank you very much. I see y'all. All right, attention ladies. If you're a super fan of TGIF, this announcement is for you. We are bringing back the hot seat in celebration of Women's History Month. But this time we're looking for two female soulmates to compete for the title super fan. Now, if you're interested, please send your name, photo, and what makes you a super fan to TGIF at foxhole.tv. That's TGIF at foxhole.tv. Hope to see you in the hot seat. Real quick, I was at Lunel's show last night in Vegas, and I was super tired, she's so hilarious and so great. Her fan base, like, it's all different types. There was this, like, group of white women from, like, Utah. Like, it looked like a group of Mormons, and they came up to me after the show, and they was like, we love you. We watch TGIF. Like, we watch it all the time. And I'm like, wait, y'all watch? And I started thinking about all the stuff we see.
White people.
I was like, oh, thanks.
Are you sure you watch?
I was like, you watch. But anyways, it was just nice to see, like, the, you know, like, where we are touching folks. So even the Mormons out in Utah, they quietly sneak and watch us. All right, in honor of the 96 Academy Awards, the Vanity Fair Oscars party, and the Oscars viewing party, we are going to play a fun, fashionable game of hit or miss. All right, let's cue the music. All right, y'all, first up, we have Regina King at the Academy Awards. Was this a hit or a miss, Armand?
I'm going hit. I love that color. I love the slit. I love it. Hit.
All right, Al?
Oh, we're going to give her a hit, but we're going to give her a hit, but that wasn't really a hit. She looked like she just got out of bed and rolled over to the Oscars in real life. Sorry, y'all. And Regina, you know I love you.
Love the dress. I don't love the hair, but the dress and the color is stunning. But okay. Next up, we have Issa Rae at the Academy Awards. Hit or miss, Al?
I thought it was a hit. I love the leg. I love the deep dip down in the front. But she looked better at the Vanity Fair. What she changed into was absolutely hot. But this, I still give her a hit.
Okay. Armand?
I love it. I love it. I'm saying hit too. I love the black. I love the plunging neckline. I love the updo. The skin looks like chocolate milk. I love it.
I think she looks amazing. And I think I remember before she like trimmed down a lot. The skin is always glowing. She looks really good. And she's just having such a great, like, not even year, season, decade. She's killing it. All right. We have Oscar nominated actress Regina Brooke at the Academy Awards. Hit or miss?
You know what? I like the front part without the train. Something about the train feels a little cheap.
Everything about her was beautiful on the carpet. For a full-figured woman, she really, really know how to accentuate the top and slim out the middle. And I think that was the point of the train, was to kind of give it more length and depth. And I thought it was great. And for a nominee, I definitely give it a hit.
I love that waist is snatched in. I'm not a fan of trains on myself, but I think she looks good. Zendaya graced the red carpet at the Academy Awards. Yes, I'm.
Everything about this young lady just screams like amazing to me. When you see her on her on the carpet, her confidence, the color's great, the silhouette is great, and you know she's a double zero, so everything looks good on her in Hollywood.
Okay, Armand.
Yeah, I like that. Is it like a sweetheart kind of like neckline? Yeah, I like that on her. At first, I wasn't like it filling the floral, but that picture right there, it looks good. I'm going ahead for sure.
Right, I think she was good. She always looked like a fashion model right up the runway, and being old school kind of Hollywood star with her the hair. It was great. All right, we have Julia Fox at the Oscar viewing party. Hit or miss?
Miss, miss, miss. And how did she get an invite and I didn't? That's a whole miss for me.
Come on.
Yeah, that looks crazy. I'm going miss too.
I think she's always a miss. She was never a hit. Every single outfit I've seen her in, every single makeup I've seen her in, every single hairstyle I've seen her in, every single interview I've seen her in, film that apartment, the mess, everything. She's just constantly a miss. I hate to come down on her like this, but she just, she's trying too hard. And it's like, it's so gimmicky. Girl, you can't get that much press off of just being with a rapper a few months, a few weeks. It's so annoying. All right, next we have Tiffany Haddish at the Oscars viewing party. Hit or miss?
Miss. Complete miss.
I'm going to give her a hit. The train was the only thing that was a little bit. You have to kind of see it in her full regalia when she's walking. But everything else to me, when you see it in person, was very nice. She's showing off her great body. I love the change in color of her hair. Love the shoulders, arms, and legs. It's a hit for me.
Okay, moving on. We have Kerry Washington at the Vanity Fair party. Hit or miss? Armand?
Miss.
I'm gonna give her a miss as well, Lamont. I'm gonna agree with you on this one. Carrie's usually very elegant, very beautiful. I mean, and this one, just something about it just wasn't given the way it should be given.
Okay, I don't like it. I don't like the dress. Her face is gorgeous though, but I don't like the dress. Face is always given, never a miss on that face. All right, I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and our new co-host Armand Wiggins for joining with me tonight and having such a great time. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. Make sure you rewatch the show and run those numbers up. Hit that like button, show love to us. It really makes a difference. Stay tuned for Fox Face Off, where they be going at it. And we will see y'all back tomorrow. Make sure you watch Deal or No Deal Island tonight on NBC. It's coming on. And please support your girl and all of the things that we're doing off the TGIF show and on the show. Thank you and welcome, Armand, and bye, Al.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations.